Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise, and this is the Dr. Denise Show. I'm so excited to have Dr. Bob Weil, who is a podiatrist. He's also really, really, really passionate about the mental game and everything to do with sports medicine. He has a private practice in Aurora, Illinois, and I'm really wanting to also congratulate him. Congratulations, Dr. Bob, on recently being inducted into the Hall of Fame for sports medicine.
You know, it was a real honor, Denise. It's the National Fitness Hall of Fame. It's a very prestigious organization, going back to the Arnold Schwarzeneggers and the Jack LaLanes and some of these other Bob Guidas. So it was a very, very exciting weekend at the end of April. As you mentioned, sports podiatry is my specialty. The role of the foot and lower extremity in all of our different activities. And also, it was exciting that you and I teamed up. You were a contributor to the book I co-authored, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, where we're talking about all the different challenges of youth sports when it comes to preventing and dealing with injuries, and both mental and physical. As you know, on my radio show, The Sports Doctor, we talk an awful lot about the mental game, as well as the physical side of the challenges of youth sports and some of the different overuse and pressures, Dr. Denise. You know, a year doesn't go by. I think it was a month ago, there was a Little League game in Colorado, 7 and 8 year old Little Leaguers. The umpire was 13 years old, yet there ended up being fist fights and hassles with the parents and the real problems that went along with it. So it just is a big challenge on the mental and physical side. And I think that's why you and I have been involved together on so many different areas in youth sports.
Absolutely. And I think one of the core components of why we met is you. I just want to sort of thank you for being a pioneer in taking these messages of health, well-being, an integration of sports medicine discussions, the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. You've been doing this via radio for quite some time. So can you give us just a little bit of your journey as to how you took your information, knowledge, and wisdom of passion out of the office and onto the radio?
You know, in the late 70s, Dr. Denise, I met a very famous champion, Bob Guida. Bob was a Mr. America, Mr. Universe in the 60s. He went on to become one of the leading sports therapists in the country, dealing with rehabilitation of injuries, enhancing performance. And I was fortunate enough to meet him in the late 70s and get involved in taking part in the podiatry side, the orthotic side, the foot side, of so many of the different things that he was involved in. Back then, one of the things that we were involved with, whether it was the men's and women's Olympic volleyball teams, whether it was the Chicago Bears and Cubs and the Chicago White Sox, it was, as you can imagine, for a fairly young guy in the area of sports medicine, really, really was a heady experience.
Pioneer.
Bob was involved in some ways on occasion on a radio station in Elmhurst, Illinois, WKDC. And we were there once a week. And Dick Chase was a old-time high school coach. He ended up becoming a Hall of Famer, and he would have a weekly radio show. And he was like Johnny Carson. He could have 5-6 guests and get everybody involved and keep them interested. And I was really, really so enamored with that side of things that here it is, 30-something, 35 years later, I'm still trying to get famous on the radio, you know?
Well, how long have you been doing radio, Dr. Bob?
I spent 20 years at the famous blues jazz station, DCB, at College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. I had a once-a-week show. I think I was after the lawnmower show, or maybe before. I can't remember. They had some specialty shows. And then I went on to spend a few years with Healthy Life Radio, which is this excellent network where I met my co-author of the book. Sharky Zartman has had a radio show of talk with Healthy Life Radio. Now I'm with BBS Radio, one of the largest streamers of different types of shows internationally. And it really has been a tremendous vehicle, an exciting vehicle. And I've had this incredible education, Dr. Denise, with probably 1,000 shows with guests like yourself.
Wow.
In all areas of sports medicine, fitness, wellness, and all these different areas where I've had this tremendous education. And I've always had a tremendous interest, again, in that mental and even in that spiritual side,
mental thing,
regarding high performance, mm-hmm, regarding parenting that high performance young boy or girl and those kinds of challenges. Because there's really only two things that all of us care about, Dr. Denise, you know, whether you're the parents, whether you're a coach, whether you're the doctor. And one of the things we care about is how can we prevent injuries and prevent problems? The other thing we care about, when indicated, mm-hmm, is how can we enhance performance? Can we be a step quicker? Can we concentrate,
absolutely,
better? You know, can we take advantage, you know, of some of these different important things? Like one of the words I really learned from you and your associates, something like mindfulness. You know, can you stay in the moment when you're competing? Great stuff. And, you know, of course, in the radio, you could be sitting there in some shorts and a T-shirt and speaking on the phone with people all over the world. It's a tremendous vehicle to take advantage of. And in this day and age, especially with the Internet, my show is called The Sports Doctor. It's a live.
Yeah, let us know exactly what time and date the sports doctor's on now that you're
on
talking so passionately
Wednesdays
about it.
From 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's live. And sometimes that could be quite an adventure where, you know, somebody doesn't show up or they get the time zone mixed up, etc. But live radio is really an exciting vehicle. So, yes, every Wednesday, 3 to 4 p.m., the show is called The Sports Doctor, BBS Radio.com.
Fantastic. And we'll have a link to the show right on this podcast as well. So I wanted to ask you, Dr. Bob, since we have you here, can you give your top tips and tools from a prevention of injury and how you work with athletes and also children in your practice?
I think it's very important to be aware of if there's a history of problems. Most people don't understand, Dr. Denise, that, for example, foot type, 75-80% of the time is inherited. Gee, you know, the young girl's got bunions and hammer toes just like her mother and just like her grandmother. Gee, you know, this young kid, he's kind of bow-legged, high arches, just like his dad or his grandpa. So we want to be aware of family history and an individual's history regarding if we've had problems. You know, if this young boy or girl is playing sports, how have their feet and ankles been? What about their knees? What about their low back? We then pay attention to some screening. We want to watch somebody stand and walk. We want to watch them balance. Do they have flat feet? Do they have high arches? Another amazing factor is about over 50% of us, Dr. Denise, are not fit properly in the shoes we're wearing. So we get involved in what is the best shoe for you or your son or daughter? What type of shoe might make a big sense. I talk in the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, about two essential exercise concepts for any athlete, any age, any level. One, strengthen your feet and ankles. You can't go wrong. I've never seen an athlete with overdeveloped ankles. Almost always it's a weak link. So we want to strengthen our feet and ankles, whether we're using rubber bands, mm-hmm, whether we're doing different kinds of balance, and we want to work balance. We want to work balance exercises, standing on mini trampolines, standing on teeter-totter boards. Every time we call it instability training, Dr. Denise, when you create instability, you then turn on every, mm-hmm, muscle you got in your core, in your low back, in your butt, in your legs, your thighs, your stabilizers to keep you stable. So we want to pay attention to those kinds of strengthening tips. And we want to understand that if we're going to be doing running, jumping activities, if we're going to be walking every day, which is one of the best exercises we could be doing, again, we get back to that individual. What's your history, Dr. Denise? Have your feet and ankles bothered you? Have you had knee trouble? What are the activities that you're doing? And then when we get that kind of information, we could start paying attention to those important things like, again, what is the best shoe for you and your foot mechanics? What are the best exercises that might be, again, very, very much apropos to the type of activity that you're doing? You know, there's a chapter in the book. It's called The Prodigy Sports. You know, I've been seeing figure skaters, Dr. Denise, for like four decades. And my poster boy is the 2010 right. Men's Olympic mm-hmm. gold medalist. He grew up in Naperville, Illinois. Evan Lysacek. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. A half hour before I'm speaking to you, I just casted another 12-year-old for orthotics. That's my main mm-hmm. specialty is custom orthotics, shoe inserts to give you your best alignment, fantastic. Your best support, your best stability. So when we have getting back to those prodigy sports, think of gymnastics, think of ballet, think of figure skating, for example, tennis, where you have youngsters, even though everybody tells them, we want you to play other sports, we want you to use your body in different ways to develop best. And that's great, unless you're in one of these sports and you don't want to play other sports. So I use a lot of physical therapy.
Right, right.
I use a lot of personal trainers in order to strengthen you or your son or daughter to give ourselves the best chance to stay out of trouble and prevent injuries. Because again, we wrote the book. Sharkey Zartman is a Hall of Fame volleyball player from years and years ago. She's a kinesiology professor. And we wrote the book because of the epidemic, with a capital E, of youth sports overuse injuries, both physical and mental. And
yes.
Where, again, yes. we love to partner with and talk to experts yes. like yourself, where we're talking about what kind of pressures are we dealing with here when we're dealing with highly competitive kids. And this is a
yes.
big challenge that you know.
So, Dr. Bob, you've said a lot, so I want to make sure I was listening to every word you said. And first of all, even prior to discussing your specific specialty with custom orthotics, you know, you have bridged over your lifetime, not only your Western medicine knowledge, but you've realized the importance of education, prevention, awareness. And I know from playing sports that a lot of times people are not mindful and not in the now. So they're not even aware that their foot might be hurting or their leg might be strained. And so I think what I love about the progression of who you are as a doctor, who you are as a radio influencer and as an author, and now an influencer, is that you have been passionately bridging your expertise in the office and looking at all the different ways you can work with coaches, athletes, and kids. And I want to be very specific in transitioning to the next topic, the mental game. Because if people are not practicing their form of mindfulness where they're checking in with themselves, am I happy today? How is my body feeling? Did I overtrain? Does that shoe fit me? Does this person I'm hanging out with make me feel happy or sad? Did that nutrition choice I made make me feel good? And I think you have been bridging as a pioneer for many, many years, the importance of the mind, body, and the human spirit connection. And so I want to transition over to what I would call like the weekend warrior fitness person, because I think if anyone's been an athlete, sometimes they've finished their sport and they're just doing the recommended exercise per week, because we all know that exercise is mind medicine. But a lot of times people end up having injuries because their mind is thinking back to when they played their sport, but they're not kind of training in the dosage and the quality and quantity that honors their physical health.
Doing too much.
Can you comment on that?
You're too aggressive. You're doing it too soon. All these things go into some of our big problems, where we are seeing half the population of youth athletes and adult athletes living on pain medicine in order to try to keep up doing what they're doing and not respecting the fact that they might be hurting. Again, don't you understand, Dr. Denise? I've got a competition next week. I need two Advil twice a day. One of my pet peeves on the sports doctor, Dr. Denise, the United States is one of only two countries in the world, New Zealand's the other, that allows television advertising of prescription drugs. Look where we are. We're in this nightmare of pain pill opioid epidemic because of this assumption that there's a pill for everything. And this is a big problem. One of the chapters in my book is called Youth, Sports, and Drugs, where, again, we have these kids who grow up watching television and commercials all day. And the fact that they are looking to use medicine because they've got to stay in the game. They've got to stay on the team. I tell parents all the time, if your son or daughter, or you, if you need pain medicine to participate, you're over the line. You need to back off. You need to do what I talk about, intelligent rest. Again, on the show, you know, I have holistic physicians, Eastern, Western practitioners who have so much to contribute, whether it's acupuncture, whether it's massage and soft tissue therapy, whether it is, again, meditation, visualization skills that many times we rely on experts like yourself to be able to try to take advantage. But the pressure many times is there to try to push through. You know, you mentioned the weekend warrior, again, which is somebody who might be doing too much. He might be adding things on too aggressively, and they run into what's called overuse injury. Now, overuse injuries are not sometimes the injury we assume. Gee, you know, I stepped in a hole, I tripped over someone's foot, I sprained an ankle, I am injured. We all understand that. Overuse is much more insidious. I don't remember, Dr. Denise, when it started hurting. I don't remember an incident. It's just, you know, my arm's killing me, too many pins, or my knees are hurting. So this many times we fall into the trap of thinking that we can live on medicine or take medicine in order to be able to mask or prevent problems, instead of either backing off with some intelligent rest or getting under the supervision of learning how to do the right kind of healing, the right kind of strengthening to try to prevent problems. And again, youth sports today is a $17 billion a year industry. You know, you partnered with a wonderful Sue Sember with
absolutely
a terrific documentary that's coming out, Beyond the Game.
Yes.
And you guys, you know, got together and you're talking about these mental pressures and mental concerns. And a lot of it is, again, you know, facing injury and looking in the mirror and seeing maybe my career is over and all of these other kinds of challenges. It's all part of the same game. And the more serious it is, let alone the professional level, where you're talking, you know, one out of millions, you know, Dr. Denise, I if I don't take this medicine, I'll lose my job. And this is what's caused me. This is what's caused me, Dr. Denise, actually rename performance-enhancing drugs. And I renamed them performance surviving. And it's a huge problem.
So the way I practice medicine is less is more. In my neck of the woods, people know that I don't grab the prescription pad. I think people know by now with what I've been doing as a influencer that I'm in complete alignment, that, you know,
absolutely,
that medicines are a tool in the toolbox that are to be utilized in times of emergency. And so I wanted to just shift what you were saying to like the concept of just youth athletics as mind medicine for life, which is the chapter that I was fortunate enough to, and I want to thank you for being a part of the book, Hey Sports Parents, because I look at sports as a life example. We learn so much from playing sports. We learn how to win. We learn how to lose. I did. In fact, for everyone listening, Dr. Bob lives in the neck of the woods where I grew up. I grew up in Schaumburg, Illinois. I was at the time right when women's soccer started to really take off. So I played varsity goalie all 4 years. I could have played in college. I lifeguarded every summer. And so I understand, but I was really fortunate, Dr. Bob, because I didn't have the parents that were living vicariously through me. My parents always said to do things that I want to do. So I was really fortunate from my parental influence. And I think what we're talking about is wellness and not illness thinking. And I think a lot of people have been shifting, and I don't think it's going to be a trend anymore. I think that the modern day vernacular is realizing that we need to bridge the East and the West wisdom. And I know from when I spoke in October of 2018 at the Dalai Lama's Body Mind Life Conference on nurturing children's mental health. And what was, I mean, Dr. Bob, it was the most fantastic experience. It was like being in the Super Bowl of wellness, because I had people from all different disciplines. I had monks there, scholars, the Dalai Lama's doctor. And we, you know, so much of what we talked about was prevention, nutrition, nurturing, good sleep, holistic prevention. And I think that you're right, just in summary of what you've said so far, that, you know, we're here, we can just log on to a television and there can be an advertisement. It's sort of like the solve your problem quickly instead of being mindful of how can I have my best day and how can I stay out of the doctor's office.
Long way. You know, 10, 20 years ago, MD medicine didn't know how to spell the word mindfulness. They weren't sure if wellness had one L or two. I'm being a little facetious, but we've come a long, long way. In the interaction used to be called in some regard alternative medicine, but then people realized, hey, this isn't a choice. So they changed it to complementary medicine. And I think that's really, really what we're talking about, is taking advantage of non-medicine related ability to feel well, perform well, and stay out of trouble. And I think, again, the idea that sports at its highest level, you know, wasn't all that many years ago. You didn't have many even professional teams that had psychology or sports psychology. That was for somebody who had something wrong with them. Now there's not a serious team at any level that doesn't pay huge attention to your world in so many ways. And to me, that's a tremendous step up. And that's why, even though, you know, from the foot specialist side to the mind, I chip in as best I can, Dr. Denise.
Yeah, and I want to thank you because you mentioned Susan Sember, and she is an executive producer and film director of the movie Beyond the Game that's launching October 30th this year. And Susan's been on a journey now for 4 years, interviewing 150 athletes. She has been to over 80 sites, and she's interviewed athletes and coaches and influencers and what we're calling ambassadors of change at all different times in their career, because really sports and that mindset is sort of an example. It parallels what we go through in life. And so when Susan was interviewing all the different athletes, people, whether they were figuring out what is my identity after my sport, what do I do when I get offered this deal? What happens if fraud's committed on me? What happens if 1 minute I'm famous on social media and the next minute it's taken away? What if I have head injury and then I'm depressed or having anxiety? What if I'm being shamed because I'm not starting any longer? That every topic with all of the people she interviewed really hit on the mental game. And so she and I were fortunate, just like you and I were fortunate, to meet on social media. And she and I have now launched a mental health awareness collaboration. We were at the NBA Summer League. We co-created this magazine that's the first Beyond the Game magazine for her movie, but with the real sort of announcement that she and I are teaming up. And so I think what I want to say to the world is you, Dr. Bob, thank you, because you have been collaborating, you've been teaming up, you've been bridging relationships, and this, you've been a pioneer in the radio world prior to, you know, all the internet. And so I just want to actually,
I'm excited. I'm going to have you and Susan on.
What did you say?
The end of September, right before the launch. And I think she's going to have one of the athletes that she interviewed also joining us to, again, really, really talk about the excitement. She's so excited to have the association with you, because I think she realizes absolutely, like you explained so well, that the mental game is involved in all of it, whatever the sport is, whatever the level is. And it's just a great collaboration. What's the website for that great magazine you sent me? Is it beyondthegame.com?
I will get it for you right now. But what I just want to say is I think that some of the top echelon people in all the different major league entities, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, tennis, people have now been given permission to start talking about their inner world. There's still a long way to go. And so one of the reasons why she and I teamed up is that we're both very passionate. Susan Sember, prior to being a film producer, is a sports entertainment attorney. And so she has the longevity and the wisdom for multiple facets. And so do I, as an adult and child psychiatrist, as a mother, as an athlete. And also in my neck of the woods, I live in Manhattan Beach, California. I'm also working with a lot of the top athletes, and I've met with Sharkey. And so I think she and I have a unique ability together to also work with people like yourself. And for more information about what Susan Sember is up to, it's beyondthegamefilm.com. Beyondthegamefilm.com. And one of the big things I want to say to you, Dr. Bob, is that the relationships you've fostered all around the world, you and I both know, and so does Susan, the importance of peer-to-peer relations, and that we have to know our audience. And these athletes that are in the movie are ambassadors of change, because they're opening up about their inner world. And that's going to create a new dialogue. And Susan's movie is launched to be released on Netflix, CBS Sports, and 80 universities. And so what we're also hoping is that there's going to be symposiums, educational pieces, and we're going to have, just like, you know, all the influencers like yourself, Oprah, Prince Harry, Lady Gaga, you know, all everyone's stepping into their being more vulnerable and being more transparent and being human.
4 years with me in the 90s on the radio. We worked together for years. And the point I'm making is that he was very involved in the golf world, and he didn't use the word psychology back in the 90s and late 80s, because psychology scared people or scared athletes. What do you think? There's something wrong with me? So he called himself a performance enhancement consultant. So when you talk about how far we've come in the ability of people to, open up, be aware of the fact of how important this is. Even again, if like Dr. Vickery would say, you know, we're not talking about anything wrong with you. We're talking about mental training. We're talking about performing better. You know, visualization, all of these kinds of things that you talk about on the high end of performance. And I think that's one of the real exciting sides of this, besides some of the sides that are a little bit fearful for people, where they're, talking about their own individual experiences. And, you know, we still have a long way to go for people to be able to really open up and be honest about. And you're really one of the pioneers in that effort.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, you said something incredibly important. Oh, yeah. It's
Dr.
so great that you said that. The person you mentioned, can you please say his name so we can honor him? thank you to him. I want to just thank him and his body of work and what he was doing at that time in history. Because I know as a doctor, I've worked with children, teens, and adults now for 20 years. I have 40,000 hours of experience. Words, thoughts, and actions matter. The world does not like the word. And you know, to me, if you say the word disorder versus, yes, you know, this it's is my style, people have their own feeling of shame. Like it's their fault for having these feelings. Yes. And so what I wanted to say, and I thank Susan Sember, and I thank you, and I thank all the people that I've met so far on this journey. I have been fortunate to have people walk into my office feeling ashamed to be in a psychiatrist's office. And I have them walking out relieved because I quickly shift the way I talk about their mental health. I shift it. It's not the blame game. And words are so powerful. And one of the words I came up with about 3 years ago, but I was really kind of like low key about it. But a lot of people that have met with me, whether they've been on my show or whether it was in India, they love, I talk about the word neurostyle or your style. So neurostyle I've defined as we all process and perceive information in our own unique way. And so essentially, Dr. Bob, I mean, you have your inner world. You're super outgoing. You're so fun. You know, I have my chattiness and my style. Sometimes I get obsessive or sometimes I get super driven.
Wait, I like that term.
So whether someone goes to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, we all have our neurostyle, the way we process and perceive information. So I defined it. I did a whole podcast on it. I'll send you the link and maybe you and I can talk further another time. But I want to have people have a new way of talking about mental health. And so I launched that in the magazine Beyond the Game. I did an article on Embrace Your Neurostyle, but I gave specific examples. So let's relate this to sports because that's what you and I are talking about. You know how we get so excited? We're watching our favorite athlete, and we know that this is the athlete that might push the limit, the one that's more aggressive, the one that's going to take the chance, right? So one minute, the crowds are loving them. Their social media is just like booming. But then the next minute, they go over the line. They go from being like risky, impulsive good, where it ends up winning the game, versus punching someone or smacking someone or using profanity, right? And so one minute someone's like, right. But like he had a neurostyle. Like if we talk about it, so some people say, oh, he needs like, well, I don't want to make this about him. I want to be general because I want to be really like respectful to all. So if someone's style is more aggressive or more impulsive, we love that. What'd you say? Exactly. And so the linear language sometimes in isolated forms can say, oh, that person had anger management issues or that person lost it or this. But what makes us so incredibly unique and successful is all the different shades of gray of who we are. And so if someone comes to me and they're having depression or anxiety, I treat some of the most successful entrepreneurs, athletes, students, and people who are just going in their version of struggle at that time. And I like to think in terms of be your own top 1%. And that means with your own particular genetics, your own particular set of life circumstances, cultural and spiritual beliefs. And so the word neurostyle, again, is that we all process and perceive information in our own unique way. I took that word, the word neurotypical is often used in scientific settings, right? But that's just so clinical. And so to me, neurostyle honors the idea of the science behind it. But then we all have a neurostyle. It doesn't mean we're disordered. It means that we have a style. And I'm not against diagnosing because I need to treat depression, anxiety, bipolar. I need to honor the scientific method. But the words we choose once we get our diagnosis and how we view ourselves can help us to heal faster. And so I teach people that. And I wrote an article in the launch of what Susan and I did. And so one of my big, big passions is changing the way we think, talk, and act about mental health. So words are powerful. And much like you brought up in the what you've experienced, this is why I have to tell you, Dr. Bob, having this call with you and this interview is really sacred because you decided to put yourself out there and be on the radio and meet all these visionaries throughout your whole life.
My pleasure.
And so I just want to thank you for all the things you've done to be able to sit here and have this discussion with me today.
That we're all on. And, you know, when you talk about enhancing recovery, and the fact that the mental part of that is very, very valid, and sometimes surprising to all of medicine. You know, we tell people all the time, 30% of medicine is placebo. You know, do you think it's going to help you? Do you expect it to help you? So when you can garner that side of things and learn some techniques, capabilities of adding that to the repertoire, it makes a lot of sense to pay attention to the quote-unquote the mental game.
Yeah, so we're right here at the end. Can you give some like kind of a summary of take-home tips with if someone were to come see you, and then also your biggest mental game tips that you want to share before we end this great discussion?
Also, especially if you're a parent of a young athlete, then you want to make sure, I'll give you again the late, great Dr. Vickery, a couple of his bullets that he had for sports parents, which was don't be a critic. If you don't have something good to say, then don't necessarily say it. Don't be nitpicking your son or daughter's performance. I think that also goes for all of us, whatever we happen to be doing. You know, we all know the new medicine today is keep moving and eat smarter. And you're not going to keep on doing what you're not enjoying doing. So you really want to find activities that you can enjoy that can enhance your cardiovascular health, can also pay attention to your fitness regarding the physical side of things. And if you've got a history of problems, whether it's arthritis or other kinds of concerns, then you want to pay attention to getting it checked out to try to prevent problems. And from a sports podiatry point of view, any persistent lower extremity problem, like the Dr. Scholl's commercials, who I used to make fun of years ago, your back, your knees, your feet and ankles, if you've got a persistent problem, then your foot mechanics are related. You want to pay attention. You want to include podiatry. And again, the idea of the mental game, I really, really believe that paying attention to the awareness of how competitive some of us might be and the idea that we're supposed to be living in the moment, paying attention to what we're doing right now. I know that's so much easier said than done, but it makes so much sense. And that would be the things that I would recommend we pay attention to.
Absolutely.
Don't push through injuries.
That's fantastic. So when I'm hearing this, I always like to, my whole mind thinks in terms of taglines, like stop, drop, and roll, right? And so, so what I'm thinking is stop, be aware, exercise smartly, choose nutrition wisely, then stop, be aware, enjoy, be kind. So Dr. Bob, can you again let everyone know how they can find you on social media, listen to your great radio show, and also find you on your website?
See what the topics were, who the guests were, listen to whatever you'd like. You can go over to newspaper articles, magazines, and read an endless array of topics. One of my most infamous is women in high heels accepting the challenge. I have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. I get a lot of guests on Twitter. And in LinkedIn, we met in that world at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. We have a lot of sports medicine information, and it's been my pleasure, Dr. Denise. I look forward to having you back on my show the end of September with Susan.
Thank you so much,
Absolutely.
Dr. Bob.
So
and
much.
You have to let you know that you like really inspire me. So thank you. And I look forward to future collaboration. Thank you.